Well, good morning, church. My name is Peter. I am one of the pastors here. And today we are continuing our series on dreams. Now, do you remember the dream that you had as a kid about what your life was going to look like as an adult? You know, you knew that you weren't going to have a bedtime and you'd be able to stay up all hours of the night. You knew you'd have some cash in your pocket, and so you were planning on how you were going to spend that money on anything you wanted to have. You know, maybe your dream was that you were going to live in a castle. Maybe your dream was to be an astronaut or play in the NHL. Well, my dream was that I was going to be a missionary. The only problem was that I thought missionaries were more like G.I. Joes. And so the picture I had in my head was that I would be driving a Jeep through a river, I would show up in town, I would shoot all the bad guys, and I would tell all the good guys about Jesus. It turns out that's not actually what it means to be a missionary. Well, everybody has dreams. Dreams are our hopes for the future. And so what is your dream? When you look ahead, what are you hoping for? It could be big or small. Not all dreams are going to look the same. Some dreams are ambitious, and some dreams are simple. Paul, a Christian leader in the first century, he encouraged the church in Thessalonica to aspire, to dream, to hope, to live quietly, minding their business and working with their hands. What is your dream? What are you hoping for? Maybe your dream is for your marriage to be strong and healthy. Maybe your dream is for your children to put their trust in God. Maybe it's tied to your education and getting a degree. Or maybe you want to start a business. Maybe your dream is to write worship songs that we sing on Sunday mornings. Maybe you have a dream to own your own home. Or maybe your dream is to be better equipped to help those who are in need. Everyone has dreams. But one of the things that we discover as we grow up and as we encounter other people is that everyone has a dream, but not everyone plays by the same rules. And so we come across people who it seems will do whatever it takes to make their dreams come true. They'll lie and cheat and steal and cut corners and trample over other people, anything to make their dreams a reality. The worst part is when it works. When we see those people getting ahead, they get promoted, they have the boss's favor, they get the guy or the girl. It just seems like they are living the dream. And there you are with your morals and your ethics and your hard work, and your dreams just feel so far away. Isn't it frustrating when jerks have success? When those types of people just get ahead in life? Well, before we all throw in the towel and decide that we're going to live like jerks, I want us to consider the words of David in Psalm 37. So if you have a Bible or you're able to open up an app and join me there, I encourage you to turn to Psalm 37. Now, this is a psalm that is written by David. He started as a shepherd and became a musician. He was a poet. He was a warrior and a king. And his wisdom that he wrote in this psalm resonated with Jesus and the Apostle Peter, both of whom hundreds of years later used this teaching, or used verses from this psalm in their teaching. And even though these words were written thousands of years ago, they are still relevant to us and our situation today. Well, David is in his later years when he writes this psalm. He's looking back across his life and what he's learned and what he's experienced. And it's from this position of old age now that he reflects on his life. And he even is talking about dreams. Now, this is a long psalm, too long for us to go over all of the verses today. So what we're going to do is just look at the first theme, which comprises the first 11 verses of Psalm 37. And so I hope you're there with me. I'm going to read this to us. It's Psalm 37. I'm going to read in the New Living Translation. And it says, "Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. For like grass, they soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they soon wither. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm. For the wicked will be destroyed, but those who trust in the Lord will possess the land. Soon the wicked will disappear. Though you look for them, they will be gone. The lowly or the meek will possess the land and will live in peace and prosperity." Well, from this passage, I want us to examine two keys for us as dreamers. And I think this series that we have on dreaming a little dream is really relevant for the situation that we're in right now. It's important for us to continue to dream, to look ahead with hope, believing for a good future. We need to be those who are dreamers. And so I have two keys that I want us to look at today as dreamers from this passage. And the first is that we trust in the Lord. And the second is that we delight in the Lord. Trust and delight. The first one that we're going to look at is trust, because David begins the first three verses of this psalm by contrasting worry and trust. He says, "Don't worry about the wicked." And then in verse 3, "Trust in the Lord." Now, in the original language, that word worry, a literal translation is, "Don't get heated." Or we would say, "Don't get worked up. Be cool." And it's repeated three different times just in these 11 verses that we look at. And the challenge for us is, how do we stay cool when those who do wrong get ahead? The answer is trust. We trust in the Lord. David is telling us to take our focus off of those who are not doing what's right, not to fret or worry about them, not to get heated about what they're doing, not to get worked up about what others are doing, to take our focus off of them. And you know, our world would agree, our culture would say the same thing. You know, if you want to get ahead, you can't worry about what everyone else is doing. And our world, our culture will tell us, take your focus off of others and only worry about yourself. And even as dreamers, the temptation for us can be to take our focus off of others. I'm not going to fret, I'm not going to worry about them, but I'm going to focus on my dreams, my aspirations, the good things I hope to see in my future. But what we see is that David isn't telling us to do that. He says, don't worry, don't fret, don't get worked up about those who aren't doing what's right. Trust in the Lord. That we're to put our focus on God and trusting him, not on our dreams, not on ourselves, but trust in the Lord. If we don't trust, we're going to worry. We're going to fret. We're going to get worked up. And if we want to overcome worry, it requires trust, that we would trust in the Lord. And this is important for us as dreamers because dreams require trust. Who are you going to trust with your dreams? You're going to trust somebody. The default for many of us is that we trust ourselves with our dreams. And so we put the burden, the responsibility of fulfilling our dreams on our shoulders. And we carry the weight of our aspirations, of those things that we want to see happen and accomplish in our life. And so we're bearing this weight because it comes down to my skills, my abilities, my connections, how I can make my dreams come true. Others of us, we put that pressure onto a spouse. And so we say, I expect that you are going to be the one who makes our dreams come true. And that's why I married you. I picked you because I thought you were going to make my dreams come true. Others will put that expectation on their children. And they view their children as their golden ticket. This is finally going to pay off. You know, all the dreams that I had, all the things I wasn't able to achieve in my life, now I'm putting that on you and expecting you to fulfill the family's dreams. That's a lot of pressure to carry on our own shoulders. That's a lot of pressure to put on someone else. We may even have another relationship where we think they have the pull, they have the connections to get us where we want to be. But what happens when there's challenges? What happens when there's setbacks? When we can't bear the weight of those expectations of trying to achieve our dreams on our own? For us as Christians, we know that we can trust God with our dreams. David tells us to trust in the Lord. In verse 3, he says, trust in the Lord and do good. And we know as dreamers that dreams require work, that there is something for us to do. This is not just wishful thinking. This is not just wish upon a star and all your dreams are going to just fall into your lap. But that we partner with God, that there is good that we are called to do. And that doing good comes out of trusting God. That the trust I have in God motivates me to do good, even when others aren't doing what's right. That I will be one who will do good because I trust in the Lord. How is your trust in the Lord? Do you find yourself getting worked up by the actions of others? As we continue to be in this pandemic, as we face challenges and restrictions and setbacks, as it feels for many of us like our dreams are getting farther away, how is your trust in the Lord? C.S. Lewis says that it's in the most difficult times of our life that we come to discover what our trust is really made of, the strength of our faith, the strength of our trust in God. He likens our faith, our trust, to like a rope, where it might seem nice, it might be beautiful, it might be the kind of rope you could wrap a present in or wrap a box in. It's a beautiful rope. But when our feet are cut out from under us, when all we have left is this lifeline to cling to of trusting in God, in putting our faith and our hope in Him and believing His promises, that is when we come to understand what our trust is really made of. How is your trust in the Lord? Through these challenging seasons that we've been going through, have you felt your trust being challenged? Or you're clinging to faith and trust in God? So David tells us to trust in the Lord. As dreamers, our first key is to trust God. The second key that we have is to delight in the Lord. That David tells us to trust in the Lord and to delight in Him. He says, take delight in the Lord and He will give you your heart's desires. Now, as a dreamer, that makes me sit up and pay attention. You know, I want my heart's desires. That's why they're my heart's desires. There's two questions that I want us to consider when it comes to the desires of our heart and delighting in the Lord. The first question is, what delights you? What makes your eyes light up? What makes your heart swell? What makes you giggle and laugh for joy like you're a school kid? What delights you? What moves your heart to happy tears? For me, my children delight me. When my son comes up to me and he gives me just a little kiss on the cheek, just of his own volition, makes my eyes light up, moves my heart. You know, since this pandemic started, I've been going back and reading books that I love, because I love to read. I love novels. And so I've been going back to some of my favorites, and I get to these emotional climaxes where the heroes are doing something incredible, and it makes my heart swell. It's just absolutely delightful. What makes my eyes light up? When I see my wife in a dress. When I'm with my family and we're telling the same embarrassing stories that we've told 100 times before, and yet I'm doubled over crying in laughter because it's just still so funny. What delights you? And then the next thing for us to consider is, how do you view God? What is your view of God? How do you see God? I think for some that are listening to this, God is like a big question mark. Just unknown. I think many feel that God is distant or aloof. There may even be some listening to this who you see God as cruel or angry. I think for too many of us, God is vague and undefined. I think even for some people, you might view God like you view warm sunshine on your face. Gives you a warm, fuzzy feeling, but ultimately doesn't change or impact your life. You just keep going, just enjoying that warm, fuzzy feeling. Well, for David, David views God as absolutely desirable, as delightful, as a God who gives. He gives us the desires of our heart. How do you view God? What's incredible to me is that you and I can have an even better understanding of who God is because we have Jesus. That Jesus shows us who God is. Jesus is desirable. He is a friend, a teacher. He is compassionate and kind. His words are life-giving, life-changing. His example is unmatched. We can delight in Jesus. Now, having gotten this far in this message, if you realize that you struggle to trust God, that your view of God has not been delightful, that I encourage you to spend time with Jesus. Read his words. Read the stories about him. Pray and talk to him. Because when we spend time with Jesus, he changes us. Our trust grows. Our delight in him increases as we see just how wonderful he is and all that he has done for us. When God is our delight, he gives us the desires of our hearts. When you take your focus off of others, when you take your focus off of yourself, and you set your eyes on Jesus, when he is your delight, you get Jesus. To be a Christian means you've already won the great big prize. The great prize is Jesus. In comparison to the greatness of knowing Jesus, our dreams are small. When we delight in Jesus, we will trust him with our dreams. Because when we delight in Jesus, he gives us the desires of our hearts. And it's not a blank check that just magically makes all our dreams come true. It's that Jesus can fulfill all the deepest longings of our heart that fuel those dreams. He gets down to the very root of who you are and fulfills your longings. So we long for relationship. And Jesus is the deepest, most meaningful relationship that we can have. We desire to love and to be loved. We desire family. We desire to be known and recognized. We desire to be safe and secure, to make a difference in the world, to leave a legacy. And at the root of every dream is a heart's desire that ultimately finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And not only does Jesus fulfill our desires, but he transforms our dreams. Our dreams and desires are changed and improved as we delight in Jesus. When we delight in Jesus, we can trust him even with our dreams. Do you trust him with your dreams? If you've ever wondered, is this my dream? Is this something God gave me? Is this something that I just cooked up on my own that I want to do? Make Jesus your delight, and he will show you. He is trustworthy. And God's best for you is magnitudes greater than any dream of our own devising. And it's from this place of trusting in the Lord and delighting in the Lord that now the rest of these verses that we see in our passage, they become possible for us when we trust and delight in him. All of the rest flows out of this place of trust and delight. And so when we get to verse 5 and it says, commit everything you do to the Lord, trust him and he will help you. When we delight in the Lord, we can be those who commit everything we do to him. Because he is our delight and we trust him. We trust that he will help us. I love this word commit in the original language. It's this picture of rolling a stone, like off of a well. A covering stone would be rolled away. And so literally, it's telling us to roll ourselves onto the Lord. Everything we do, everything we are, all of our cares, all of our burdens, we roll it onto the Lord. In fact, when the Apostle Peter writes his letter to the early church, he refers to this verse in Psalm 37 that David wrote, this picture of rolling ourselves onto the Lord when he says, cast your cares on Jesus because he cares for you. And so this is the picture of us rolling everything we are, our cares, our burdens, what we want to do, our future, all of it, we roll it, we throw ourselves on Jesus, knowing we can trust him and knowing that he will help us. And from this place of trust and delight in the Lord, we can, like it says in verse 7, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. I don't think there's anything more challenging for us right now in our culture than to be still and to wait patiently for the Lord to act. But we can do it when he is our delight because we recognize we're not waiting alone. He's in the waiting with us. We're waiting in his presence. We can be still because we're with Jesus. When our delight is in the Lord and we trust in him, we can stop being angry. We don't have to lose our temper. We don't have to get worked up and heated by what everyone else is doing. Because we trust God will take care of it. Trusting and delighting in the Lord allows us to take the long view. And this is what David is doing. He's an old man now. He's looking out over the course of his life. And he sees that the wicked fade away. They don't last. And what he sees is that those who wait win. The wicked don't stick around. That it's the meek, it's the lowly who will possess the land, who will inherit the land. And Jesus refers to this verse in his Sermon on the Mount
when he says that it's the meek that will inherit the earth. He takes what David says and he magnifies it and expands on it. And really, meekness is the theme of these first 11 verses. That it's an example, a demonstration of what it means to live meekly. That as Christians, we can be those who don't worry. We trust God. That He is our delight and He gives us our dreams. And we throw everything onto Him. We can be still in His presence. We can wait knowing we win. While others fade away, God gives us the land. And we have peace and prosperity, not because of what we have done, but because of who our God is. And so for us today, as we close, we take our eyes off of others. We take our eyes off of ourselves, off of our dreams, and we look to Jesus. When we delight in Jesus, we will trust Him, even with our dreams. You know, I think dreams are often intensely personal. They're not necessarily the kind of thing that you want to stand up in front of a crowd and just share all of your dreams. But I hope that those who are closest to me will see me trusting Jesus with my dreams, with the desires of my heart. That I would be someone who delights in the Lord. That when I talk about Jesus, that my eyes would light up. And I pray that we would be a church that would have a rock solid trust in the Lord. That we would trust Jesus with our dreams, no matter what is happening in the world around us. That we would be those who delight in the Lord. You know, today we've been examining the words of David. But David knew that someday that there would come a Savior who would set things right. There would be a king of the line of David who would be the King of Kings. And that king is Jesus. Psalm 126, verse 1 says, "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream." And Jesus is the King who restored our fortunes. He rescued us from sin and death. He took us from slaves to sin and made us children of the Most High. He is the reason we dream. Jesus is the reason we have hope for tomorrow. And when Jesus is our delight, our love, our joy, He will give us the desires of our hearts. And we will delight in abundant peace. And so today, if there's anyone listening to this and you recognize that you need Jesus to save you, that you need to make Jesus your delight, you need Him to restore your fortunes, to save you from sin and death. If you have never made a decision to bend your knee to Him and to give Him your life, then today you have an opportunity to meet with Jesus because He is here with you wherever you are. And today we can say to Him, "Jesus, I want to put my trust in You. Jesus, I delight in You. I love You, Jesus. Forgive me and set me free." Today, if that's you and you recognize your need of Jesus, I encourage you, wherever you are, just to pray in your heart and to ask Him to come and to save you from your sins. Jesus is here with us. Today, if you're listening to this and you recognize that you need God to help you to trust Him, that you've been hanging on to that lifeline, but things have been so challenging and so difficult, and you realize you just need to trust more in Jesus. if you recognize that you need to spend time with Jesus so that he would be your delight, that you would delight in him, that he would make your heart swell and your eyes light up, then if that's you today, wherever you're at, would you just close your eyes and just whisper in your heart and say, that's me. And I want to pray for you. Jesus, I pray for each person today who's made a decision to make you the Lord of their life, to put their trust and their delight in you. Jesus, we thank you for the saving work that you are doing inside of them. We thank you that you have called them to yourself. And for those of us today who believe in you, Jesus, we ask that you would help us to trust you in every situation. God, that we would be those who trust you and do good. God, that we would throw ourselves on you, that we would commit everything we are and everything we do to you. Jesus, would we be those who delight in you? Jesus, we thank you for all that you have done for us. You have restored our fortunes. You are the reason we dream. Jesus, we look to the future with hope, with expectation, because of who you are and what you've done. And so I pray today that we would rest in this place of trust and delight in you, that we would be those who don't have to get angry. We don't have to get worked up. We don't have to fret about what everyone else is doing, but we can be still in your presence. We can wait for you to act. Jesus, we thank you. I pray for each person. Would you come and minister to their hearts even right now? We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you made a decision today, I encourage you to reach out to us, send us an email, go to our website, find a way to contact us, tell somebody around you about the decision you made to make Jesus your delight and to put your trust in him. Well, thank you for joining us today. I want to encourage you to join us tomorrow night when we have our prayer meeting on Zoom. You can find all the information on our website, eastsidecitychurch.ca. We look forward to having